话语，求主你引领。我们谢谢这一枚完全的交托祷告，都奉我们主耶稣基督得胜的名，阿们。
阿
们，
阿们。All right, so over to Bernard.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Shuang. That's good. Yeah, amen. Well, you can see the title, and I'm not going to get far. So I say that at the beginning. The beast and the lamb. You know, we're continuing really this kind of little steps into the book of the Revelation. Just little steps in. I'm not trying to exposit the book. I'm not trying to I want us to get some spiritual understanding. Now, as soon as you will know that beast, lamb, really opposites, totally opposites. And Jesus, of course, has revealed in not just the book of the Revelation, but before that, when he comes into the world, he is announced as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that, of course, is built upon the Lamb in the Old Testament. So almost from the beginning of your Bible, you and I are introduced to the place of the lamb, that lamb associated with sacrifice, not only associated with sacrifice, but associated, and this is very important, sacrificed that he may be fed upon, devoured. So that the lamb, you can all remember the place of the lamb and the blood of the lamb in the deliverance of the people of God, the Old Testament people of God, the Jew, out of the land of Egypt, out of their bondage. There, and you may never have thought of this, but they were under the power of a beast. That beast happened to be called Pharaoh. I want to try and go slowly if I can. I want to help tie together in our understanding what was going on. You know that Pharaoh was a beast. He was beastly in the way that he was dealing with the people of God. Had enslaved them in his kingdom and under his power. And they were brought out by signs and wonders, but they came out through the blood of the lamb. A lamb for a house. And they didn't only put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, and you all know the story well, but they sat in the house and they fed, they devoured the lamb. They devoured the lamb. Now this is what the beast does. The beast is a devourer. The dragon is a devourer. And he feeds, he devours, he feeds upon And really, it's good to keep this right clear in our mind. And you will know that the lamb does not eat flesh. Beasts eat flesh. Now I'm already bringing enough together that if I was just to throw this out to you, that if I live in the flesh, the beast will be able to devour me. The beast will be able to feed upon me, feed upon my mind, feed upon my thinking, feed upon my actions. If I live in the flesh, but if I live in the spirit, that is, if I live in the spirit that is given to me through the Lamb, then the beast will not be able to devour me because I am partaking of eternal life. So I'm bringing together all kinds of things. Now, I want to say a little bit about the word fantasy, because when you come in to the New Testament, especially the book of the Revelation, the more I read it, the more I look at it, the more I soak in it, and it's amazing. I've been in the book of the Revelation for 60 years. Think of that, and sometimes I've preached a bit on it and done series. I did one series many years ago when we lived in Australia, and I don't remember much about it now, but it's fantastic. And so you have this word, which usually we begin with the letter F, fantasy. And it links with the word, it's fantastic. And, but originally that word didn't begin with F. That word began with the letters PH. And so fantasy began with PH in the 14th century. And it had the word the fantastic. You may have seen the word phantasmagorical. You may have where a phantasmagorical. It's just something out of this world. It's just something that is full of imagery. And that word comes from the word phantasm. We've heard of phantasm. So you're moving in, so phantasm, phantasm. And you're moving into the realm of images. You're moving into the realm of pictures. And children love fantasy nowadays, don't they? You've got, what's her name, who's made all the money? Is she the England's richest woman? What's her name? J.K. Rowling. That's fantasy, isn't it? And of course, but I'd like to say something. There was a very great Christian minister. And by the way, the word fantasy comes from both Latin and Greek. It's to do with images. It's to do with ways of expressing truth and lies through imagery of all sorts. So you're into the realm of images and beasts and fantastic princesses and horrible, ugly women, witches. You're penetrating into that which is mysterious and out of this world and somehow hidden behind everything. And so it comes from the Greek. It's in the Greek and it's in Latin as well. Phantasm. Some kind of spirit, something that people dream or imagine. And so that whole world of imagery is involved here. There was a very great Christian author. You will know, of course, C.S. Lewis. And he wrote, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia. He is trying to express truth in those seven books. He's using images, he's using all sorts of things, and he was influenced by an incredible man who was a Scottish minister whose name has just now gone out of my head. George MacDonald. George MacDonald, and he was a minister. And he was also a poet. And many of his books that he wrote were fantasy books. In fact, he wrote one called Phantastes. But he wrote a little poem, and I'm going to quote it to you and try and interpret it to us, because I'm aware. He says, "In holy things may be unholy greed." He's talking to God. "Thou givest a glimpse of many, many a lovely thing, not to be stored for use in any mind, but only for the present spiritual need. The holiest bread, if hoarded, soon will breed the mammon moth, the having pride, I find. 'Tis momently God's heart gives out heart quickening." Now that's not easy to grasp what's he saying, but I will illustrate it. He's saying God reveals just enough for us to understand what he's wanting us to say, to understand now. Don't get clever. Don't get proud. Don't think you know it all. Don't think that you got the right interpretation of the book of the Revelation. Don't think that you're an expert on end time things because you know a little bit and you've read a certain scheme of interpretation. Don't get proud. That's what he's writing about. He's saying there can be unholy greed. Now, I will tell you about a friend of mine who passed away, I guess, coming toward 30 years ago. He was a minister, a Pentecostal minister. He was a lecturer in a university and college in the United States for a while, toward the end of his life. He had been a missionary in Nigeria for a period as well. He had been very faithful to his wife, but they separated, never divorced. He provided for her because she just felt that he was too intense about the mission field and so on. He was a very dear man and we knew him well, and he was in our fellowship toward the end of his life, the last maybe 20 years. We knew his wife too, and he was very good to her. And he would be a man who at meetings would come forward, even if someone like me, much as junior, was preaching, and he would go down on his knees, especially, and, you know, if I was preaching in the simple ways and other conferences too, I saw him do it, humbling himself. And he said, I realize that I became incredibly fascinated with end time things, with the interpretation of the book of the Revelation. And it led to me taking my eyes off of Jesus. And I became fascinated and proud and argumentative about my interpretation of the book of the Revelation. And he said, now I realize how wrong I was, how wrong I was. It took me away from the simplicities. He became lifted up in pride. He said, I just want to show Jesus. And I think one or two of you in Canada may have met him, know who I'm talking about. But you realize that George MacDonald here in this little poem is capturing something. And of course, it's one of the things that's dividing the churches today. In fact, my own experience in two countries has been because I was cut off completely by one or two dominant people in those fellowships because I did not hold publicly with the way that they interpret the book of the Revelation. Because I didn't, and I wasn't even speaking contentiously. And it was a shock to me to be cut off, which is one of the reasons there are two countries that we have not gone to for the last years, because maybe one or two dominant people say no, because they have a fixed view. Mm-hmm. We have got the truth on who the beast is, who the dragon is, who the woman is, who the harlot is, who. And, you know, the dangers of, you know, trying to, well, becoming lifted up in pride. And so I wanted to say these things in the way of warning that we must first approach very humbly and realize this too, and this is very important, that there is nothing new under the sun. And so you will find that what is in the book of the Revelation is built upon what has already been laid down in what we call the Old Testament, so that you will expect to find that which is beastly working against the people of God. So keep this in your mind, Now, as we approach this, and I won't get far, but I want us to begin, strangely, in the book of the Revelation, verse 1, so that we keep firmly in our view that the chief purpose of the book is to reveal Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And that God, that is the Father, gives to Jesus Christ, his Son, the revelation. And that's how it begins in verse 1. And God, that's the Father, gives the revelation first to Jesus Christ, his Son, so that Jesus might show to us, to the servants of God. I hope I'm a servant of God, one of his bond servants, what must take place soon. And it's Jesus that must make things known to me. And I must come humbly to him. And apparently Jesus gave it to an angel. And he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Amen. So you can see that there is a chain of revelation. So first it comes from God the Father, and it comes first to God the Son, and then God the Son sends it to an angel, and then he sends it to the angel to bring it to his servant John, his bond slave John. Amen. And now it's not by chance, by the way, that John is precious disciple and apostle of Jesus. It's not by chance that he is known as the apostle of love. So this revelation comes from God the Father to God the Son, from God the Son to an angel, from God, from that angel to John, and that angel will figure throughout the book of the Revelation. He'd be one of the figures, and it's remarkable. And this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. He bears testimony. Then the third verse says, "Blessed is he who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear." Amen. Read it. Now that's something. Some people read it and become fascinated by the fantasy, because it's fantastic. And they become fascinated by the things. And there are others that read it like little children. There's those who don't read it at all, because it's so strange to us. It beyond our imagination what it's going to say. But blessed are those who read and those who hear. So we're being blessed by just coming to it a little bit, as we have been over these weeks, and trying to say a few things. Blessed are those who hear and those who keep what is written therein, for the time is near. So you can see it has to do with time. What is happening in time? Immediately. Immediately. It was beginning then. It's to do with what is happening in time. It's important. Not just right at the end of time. Not the last 3.5 years of time, as one interpretation goes, but it's to do with something that's happening in time. Amen. And as I go on and just reading these first prologuing words, John to the 7 churches that are in Asia. So now it's John. He's going to start writing what he's seeing. Grace to you and peace. And this is important, my brethren. Very important. The message, the first message is grace to you from him who is. And you know this so well. Who is and who was and who is to come. And from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So now you are introduced to this one. Grace and peace to us. Everyone who's going to listen, everyone who's going to read. Who does the grace and peace come from? The one who is. And the one who was, and the one who is to come, and from the 7 spirits that are before his throne. His throne, so you're now introduced to 7 spirits, and you're introduced to the fact that they are before his throne. So you're introduced to the throne. Now, you'll see why I'm emphasizing this in a minute. The throne, his throne, the one who is, who was, who is to come. His throne. And you're introduced to Jesus Christ, who is the not the liar, but the faithful witness. Because we're going to read a lot in the fantastic things in this book. We're going to read a lot about the unfaithful witness, the liar, the murderer. We're going to read a lot about his beast. We're going to read a lot about his second beast. We're going to read a lot about the whore that rides on one of the beasts. We're going to read a lot about the kings of this earth. We're going to read a lot about empires and kings. We're going to read a lot about their pride, their pretensions, and their efforts, and their, you know, we're going to read a lot about the angels that belong, a third of the angels that fell with a master angel. And so we're introduced to he who is the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the earth. Always have been. Always has been. Amen. Now, I'll give you a kind of a contrast, all right, straight away. So this is who's talking to us. So I'm going to go now into chapter 17. Perhaps I should go to 13 first, but I'm just giving you a contrast as a bit of an introduction. I saw a beast. Verse 1 of chapter 13. I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. And there he is, with 10 diadems upon its horns and a blasphemous name upon its heads. Blasphemy. Something false. Something anti-God. And then you begin to see this beast like a leopard, feet like a bear's. I mean, John can hardly describe it. His mouth was like a lion's mouth, like. Not exactly. To it, the dragon gave its power. The dragon came in chapter 12. We'll come back to him a bit. But here's this beast, and then in verse 11, I saw another beast. It rose out of the earth. It had horns, 2 horns like a lamb, like. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and it makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. Amazing. Whose mortal wound was healed. Oh. It was wounded, was it? Yes. Go back to chapter 3. The first beast, one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth followed the beast with wonder. So here you've got a beast that gets wounded in one of its horns. You can begin to sort of see that this is fantastic, what we're reading. Well, and then people begin to worship this beast because it seems to have a death and it has a resurrection. Pops up again. You know, and I go into chapter 17 now, and I read about this beast in a little more detail, chapter 17. And he comes into view. He's carrying a woman. And I won't go into her at the moment. But look at verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 17. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is to ascend from the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Oh, the beast was and was not, is not, and then comes up again. This beast hasn't got permanency. Now, what did we read in chapter 1? Who is writing to us? Who is it? Is it not? Did we not read in chapter 1, he who is and who was and who is to come? He has ontology, the actual theological word is, the metaphysical word is, permanency, as to the essential nature of his being. God is God. This beast is a pretender. This beast seems to be and then is not and then comes back again and then comes back again and then ascends even from a bottomless pit to go into perdition, worthlessness. You understand me? So we are beginning to deal with that which is unchanging, God, his throne, and a whole load of pretenders, a whole load of lies. Shall I name some of them in our day? President Trump, Xi, Putin, pharaohs in our day, in their kingdoms, in their places, kingdoms in their day. Shall I name some in the 20th century? Mussolini, Hitler, who was not, and you know, the Emperor of Japan, fascism. So you're beginning to get a bit of a picture. It's relevant to us. Pharaohs in their day, who sought world domination. Part of the beast, one of the manifestations of the beast in time. At a certain period of history, for me, our history, my father, what a beast Hitler was.
Mm-hmm.
My father was one of those who went into Europe in 1945. And, of course, he never said much about it. But he arrived in Germany, and one of the things he did hint to me that he was one of those that went into Belsen, one of the camps.
Yes.
And he was one that liberated and what they saw there, the piles of bodies that the beast, the Hitler beast, had devoured. And the people who had followed the Hitler beast, because Germany after the First World War, this is why it's so relevant to us, seemed to be a nation that had disappeared. It was under the Kaiser. It was, and then it was not. And then under Hitler, it rose again. You see how the scripture is so incredibly relevant to us. No wonder there were people who thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. One of the reasons, as some of you know, my family comes from an Italian background, is that some of the Italians got out of Italy and became refugees in the days of Mussolini, because he was a fascist and he was beginning to become a beast to his own person. Or if I bring it nearer, to, you know, when I think of Russians, we've been recently in Poland, as you know, and we're with Ukrainians and so on. Though we did not go into Ukraine, but we were with Ukrainians, and they, as some of them can remember those old ones, communism, Khrushchev, Stalin, the archipelagos, you know, Siberia, this beast who was devouring, his name was Stalin, and he was devouring his own people. You understand what we're talking about? That's why I wanted to just introduce this subject in this way to us, so that we will realize how wonderful it is to be in the kingdom of our God, the God who was and who is and who is to come. Amen. And the Lord Jesus, of course, will tell us very clearly, I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. He'll tell us that at the end of chapter 1 of our book. This is why it's so important, my brethren, and so important that we get beyond the sort of interpretations that get fixed on, you know, 3.5 years and this and that and the other, and we begin to understand the principles, spiritual principles that are underneath. Now, I want to introduce you, having just said these few things, and I must watch my time, I want to introduce you to where the beast came from, because have a look carefully back in chapter 13, verse 1. I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Okay. That's where it came from, out of the sea. Chapter 13, verse 1. And then you got this second beast coming, verse 11, chapter 13. Where does he come from? He rose out of the earth. So we are definitely on earth, okay? We're definitely on earth. He rose out of the sea, the first one. The second one rose out of the earth. So we're not up in heaven. We're on earth. And those of you who know your Bibles, the Old Testament, will know that one of the pictures of the nations, one of the images of the nations in your Bible is the sea. The sea of the nations, the sea of the peoples. So this first beast begins to come out of the sea of the nations, the peoples. So, can you name some of this first beast and second beast? Because the second beast comes up out of the earth, and that's another one of the images of the nations of the earth, the four corners of the earth, where the nations were. So you now know that these beasts, they come up out, there's a human content to them. You got it? There's a human content, not simply a spiritual content. They involve people, they involve persons, they involve dominant persons, they involve governments, they involve kings, they involve peoples of great influence. And they're coming up out in the processes of history. Tell me, well, you know the answer yourself. There is a man in the Old Testament who saw beasts coming up. And he had dreams and he had visions. So much so that this dear man, some of his dreams and visions shocked him so much that he could hardly eat for 3 weeks or sleep for 3 weeks. His name was Daniel.
Yes.
His name was Daniel. And he lived through the period of the Babylonian Empire, and then the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And he was told in his dreams about certain beasts that would arise, one of them like a leopard. And he was told, and it was interpreted to him, that that leopard beast was none other than Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire. Then he was told about another beast that would arrive out and rise from the area. Isn't it incredible? Would arise from the area of the Mediterranean that was going to be very long-lived, the Roman beast that was iron, and he was told these things, and so it's not new. It's not new that in those days, in that area, what beasts were rising at the same time? The warlords of China.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we know nothing much about that unless you know Chinese history, and I don't. But I know that the tribes, they were killing one another. I know that later than that in South America, from among the peoples were rising these warlords, these killers, your Aztecs and your this, and demanding human sacrifice and who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to see this. So we're locating the beasts, where they come from. They have a human content, but, and this is the big but. Chapter 12 of your Revelation book. And you have something. You're now in heaven. You're not on earth, all right? Verse 1. A great portent appeared in heaven. Amen. Amen. And verse 3. Another portent appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, who has a purpose, who has an intent. Apparently in heaven, there was this woman, and she's with the moon under her feet, and her head, on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she cried out in her pangs of birth, in anguish for delivery. And another portent appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems upon his heads. And look what he did. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear the child, that he might, what? Devour when she brought it forth. There's the devouring. The devouring dragon. Who is he? Who is he? Of course, you know who he is. You find he is defined for you in verse 9. He's the serpent who's going to appear in the garden on earth. He's the serpent. Who else is he? He's called the devil and Satan. He's the adversary. He's a spirit adversary. Do you know, the first place the war was not on earth. The first place the war was, verse 7, was in heaven. Verse 7. Look at it carefully. The war was in heaven. A war arose in heaven. And Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Now, please, do not think, we do not know when this war arose in heaven. We do not know when the mystery of iniquity began to work. Jesus talked about the mystery of iniquity, the lawlessness. Paul wrote about the mystery of lawlessness, and he wrote about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you read about it in the book of the Revelation, this mysterious origin of that which is anti-God and anti-Christ, that wants to blot God out, that wants to do away with God, which is the epitome of pride. The war arose in heaven, and it has its origin in this great red dragon, who imaged himself as serpent to the woman in the garden, who is called the devil, Diabolos, the one who throws in lies. This will give you a clue. He is called Diabolos, means the one who throws in lies, who throws in something that's off track, off track, off track. Who does he lie about? God. He's also called Satan, Satanus, which simply means adversary, that which is against. He lifted himself up, and you will know that the Isaiah book and the Ezekiel book will tell you some things about him. Mm-hmm. He rose up to say, I am God. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 14, is it 28? I didn't look it up, but and certainly it's in Ezekiel 2, where not Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel as well. And you read things, hints, and it's a terrible thing. The Isaiah 28 is, you know, you don't quite know who it's talking about.
Isaiah 14.
Sorry, 14, thank you, yes.
Ezekiel 28.
20, yeah, thanks. You can keep a note of those scriptures and read them at your leisure. Ong's got them right, chapter 14 of Ezekiel. Sorry, it's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. You have hints about this. Remember that what I said about George MacDonald's poem, that we don't get fascinated by this stuff in the wrong way, but we understand where the mystery of iniquity and lawlessness and anti-God, anti-Christ, anti, where it all had its origin in this tremendous angelic being that is became a dragon in heaven. He didn't become a dragon on earth. He appears on earth like serpent. He appears on earth like beast. He appears on earth with his mentality through great leaders politically, in universities, with arrogant professors, in the economy, with the love of money. He appears beastly, and he devours people. Just think, my brethren, of the United Kingdom where I live, which is now troubled much by people from coming from India, from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries that do not integrate, they bring their religion with them, one in particular that is a religion that devours particularly. They do not accept democracy and what it means. And of course, the more militant among them want to dominate everything and devour and destroy everything that opposes. But there's a certain justice in this, my brethren, because these people are congregating in certain cities in England, particularly, where wealth flowed into the country and made because the empire was great, and they exploited people in India. They exploited people in what is now Pakistan. They exploited people. They devoured them. They had something of the dragon in them. Are you understanding? They were beastly. They were cruel. And they profited beyond. And then the same thing in the slavery. There's a certain justice. You know, they kept Africa poor. You had the Côte d'Ivoire. You had, you know, where chocolate came from, and the slavery of people. And you've got it in South America as well, where the coffee comes from. Are you understanding? I'm wanting to make this intensely practical, that we will understand that these great businesses devoured. And they profited. And so, you dear Chinese folks who are Malaysian Chinese, and you know where your forebears came from, and they were brought in. And those, I don't think there's anyone of Indian descent on, particularly today, from Malaysia. But you know how they were brought in because of the rubber plantations, and you know all the rest of it. You understanding, by this drive of the beast that was working. And of course, I'm not saying that these business people and these great empire builders knew that they were being motivated by the great red dragon. Of course, I'm not saying that. But there was an energy, there was a drive, there was a power working. And of course, I know that they utilized often the first people that went into Africa were missionaries who were taking the kingdom of God, taking the kingdom of God into India. The first hospitals in India were built by Christians. The first agricultural colleges were built by Christians. You understand, these were the pioneers, the first missionaries into West Africa. They were missionaries, not business people. The wicked one came in afterwards with his emissaries to profit. Stanley went in. His famous, you know, words when he tried to find the great missionary, the Scottish missionary Livingstone, and at last he found him. Livingstone, I presume. Yeah, that's right. Good old, Stanley went to find Livingstone, the one who penetrated the jungles up the river, you know. It's wonderful when you begin to get a grasp of what's happening in the world. And my brethren, nowadays, you say, what about if in our days? Think of this country in which I live, in which the government, without publicity, in 2008 passed laws that embraced the ideas of the WEF, who are a non-elected people made up of, what's the WEF? The World Economic Forum, who are committed to one world government, who are committed to destruction of everything that opposes. And that's why this country is adopting all electric cars by 2035. They just modified it, and do away with fossil fuels and do this, and let's kill Donald Trump, you know, who just has some. And why? And of course, this is where, and I'm not getting into politics, and I'm not saying good old Mr. Trump, but you mustn't think it's just natural greed that is making him want to make America great again and get hold of the petrol reserves in Venezuela. He's doing that partly to protect the world so that those petrol reserves do not fall into the hands of those that are utterly antagonistic to anything democratic or free and utterly committed to totalitarianism, whether it's from China or whether it's from Russia. That's part of his reasoning. He's not a Christian like we are Christians, Mr. Trump, but he's not. Anyway, I'm just wanting to bring this whole issue of the beast right home to us, because the book of the Revelation shows us that at the end of time, the battle lines will be drawn globally.
Yes.
And that the Antichrist, the beast, will emerge and his image will be seen that is so blasphemous. And the kings of the earth will embrace him. and he will seem to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. Temporarily, he will seem to bring in his kingdom, the kingdom that he failed to bring in. In heaven, his aim in that war in heaven that we read about in chapter 12 there, his aim was to bring heaven under his sway, to dethrone God, to make God out to be a liar, to gather the angels. He managed to get a third of them. But Michael and his angels rose up and said, "Not so. Not so. God is God. We owe him our being. He gives us our life. You are the great pretender. You great liar. You red dragon. And you red dragon. You're vile. You're just a blasphemer. You've got heads. You've got a number of heads. You've got crowns. You can rule in certain places. Now you're getting the picture a bit more, I hope." Mm-hmm. And then God, in the sweet rhythms of his unhurried pace, he brings forth, makes promises. Even with the image of God has become messed up in Adam, he makes promises that there's going to be a seed that is going to come. Even the Lord Jesus. Doesn't all this sound fantastic? It doesn't it seem almost like a fantasy? A great big story. You hope it's going to have a good ending. You know that good will triumph over evil. Now you're beginning to sort of understand that the remnants of this lies in the stories of fantasy. You know, Superman, Batman, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can go on. Isn't it incredible? You know, it's amazing. The woman brought forth a man-child. I'm in chapter 12 of Revelation again. I'm trying to keep some semblance of order in what I'm saying. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us through these things, just to help us to grasp what we're in. She brought forth a child. He was caught up to heaven. That's what it says, doesn't it? Caught up to God and to his throne. And of course, we all know that's Jesus. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, didn't he? And then, according to their agreement, the Spirit was poured out. And the woman who brought forth, you know, she's among other things the church, the true church, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which to be nourished. There's feeding again. To be nourished from heaven for time that remains. And so the church has been nourished. So the church, the true church, you and I are being nourished in the midst of all this that I'm talking about. She's nourished. And I go down and I find this in the 12th chapter, that this dragon thrown down to the earth, it all seems a bit muddled, doesn't it? The devil and Satan, he's the deceiver of the whole world. There he is. verse 9. His angels were thrown down with him. You know, his angels are thrown down with him. Goodness me. Who are his angels? They're spirits, aren't they? There's a spirit over Russia. There's spirit beings over China. There's spirit beings. You say, really, Bernard? Yes, this is what Daniel, this is what so shocked him. This is what he was told, you know, that one of the great angels came to him and said to Daniel, look, I came with an answer for your prayers, but I was resisted by the prince of the power of Persia. There are angels, there are powers that are over nations. That is, we just get hints of it. It's just being revealed to us. You understand? This is why Paul understood so clearly, didn't he? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's chapter 6, isn't it, of Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Put on your armor, everyone. You soldiers of Christ, arise. Get your helmet on. Get your breastplate on. Amen. Amen. Go back in your mind to the war in heaven, will you? When Michael and his angels fought, what did they fight with? What was the devil fighting with? What was he fighting with? He was fighting with words. His words managed to deceive. His lies about God, his sowing of doubts of God, his mind was fertile with antagonism to God. He's absolutely opposed to God. He wants to be God, and he fought with his mouth and with his intellect and his intellectualism. Now switch over into what has been a current fight in North America. You know, gender, the gender fight. Where did it begin? In the universities? In the universities only? No, with proud professors. In their minds? No, ideas sown into their minds by certain spirits that are under league with Satan, the great red dragon. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You understand? It all begins to come to right home to us. It's what a picture. Does that mean all professors are horrible? No. But some give themselves over. Some give themselves over. Suggestions in the mind. Remember, they can devour the flesh. What did I say right at the beginning? If men want to live in the pride of their mind and not humble themselves under the mind of God, if women want to live under their fleshy, proud mind and intellect, they will be devoured by wicked spirits, and who will devour them by sowing into their minds the stupidity, the madness of sheer immorality, such as being taught that gender is not biological. To those who think straight, you know, but it's, you see, the enemy is at work. And the devil, this great red dragon, he lost his place in heaven. That's where the battle was lost. So he came to renew the battle on earth. Are you with me? He came to bring his kingdom into the garden. He succeeded through the woman into the man, of changing things and bringing, he brought the battle into the nations. You have this great thing going on, my goodness. And it says this, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power of the kingdom of God has and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. But what's remarkable is look at the verse beforehand, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. How about that? And then you get this great hallelujah, as it were. There's no hallelujah here, actually. But this loud voice in heaven saying, now he's down here on the earth. He's localized to this earth. Amen. Heaven's clear. Isn't it wonderful? You know, when our Lord Jesus, who is the truth and nothing but the truth, who was the true witness, the faithful witness, the risen from the dead, when he ascended up on high. Do you know what Jesus said, don't you? My Father is true. My Father is faithful. My Father is honest and true. My Father was and is to come. And so am I. I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. Yea, and the heavens were cleared and cleansed of the lie that was lingering in the atmosphere, hanging in the atmosphere of heaven, ever since it was spewed out of the mouth of Satan, the great red dragon, spewed out of his mouth. God is not God. God doesn't care for you. God is not really true. God has a dark side. God is not to be trusted. This was his devil. This was his devilish language, his blasphemy, and he filled heavens with it. And hallelujah, Michael and his angels didn't swallow it, but a third of the angels did. And down he was cast out when Jesus ascended on high and sat down. Man is no good. This is what the devil said. This is the serpent. All God's plans are lies. He has no purpose. And so on. All the kind of lies you've listened to. All the kind of lies that I've listened to. All the kind of lies that come spewing out of the mouths of philosophers and so on and so forth. Man is God. Man has the answer. Man can make his own kingdom. Let's build our Babel, shall we? Yeah, let's make our kingdom. Let's make it glorious. And in order to do so, we'll have to kill all those Christians. We'll have to get rid of God. We'll have to get every memory of him out of the place. They tried to do it. Stalin tried to do it in Russia, and he didn't succeed. You're seeing how pertinent all this is to all of us. And I may be saying it in a rather unusual way, but the battle's come down here. It's on the earth, and he's chasing the woman. He's chasing the church. He's chasing it. You know, he's thrown down this devil who accuses them. End of verse 10, chapter 12. This is what he does, who accuses them. He accuses them. Now he's accusing you and me, accusing us day and night before our God. Before our God, he's cast down. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. There you are. There's your battle sword. The word of their testimony. Amen. He fought, the wicked one fought in heaven, that red dragon, with words. You know, blasphemies against God, accusing God, you're not God, you're a liar. You're a liar. And Michael said, no, no, we're not going to believe you. We're going to believe God. And the battle's come down here. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We'd have no testimony without the blood of the Lamb. What does the blood of the Lamb say to us?
It's life.
What does the blood of the Lamb, the blood that speaks, Hebrews 12, the blood speaks better things. It speaks forgiveness. It speaks victory. It speaks man has become triumphant in Jesus Christ. Man has lived to the glory of God. It speaks. The blood speaks. The blood speaks. Amen. It speaks in heaven. And in our heart, it speaks here too and says, you are a member of Christ. You are a member of his body. You are joined to the heavens. Hallelujah. You are part of the life that was, who is, and who is to come. You have been through the death. You must live in the death. We'll overcome by loving not your life unto the death. Wow, we're saying so much this morning. There's so much that is coming together. Hallelujah. That's why it says that they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. It speaks liberty. It speaks glory. It speaks, it's finished.
Yes.
It speaks, the end is sure. The work is done. Amen. God who began shall finish. Amen. And the word of their testimony. We begin to testify more and more clearly to the victory that is settled in heaven, and it's settled on this little bit of the earth. I hope this victory is settled in you, brethren, that you know who you belong to, and if necessary, and you don't have to worry about it or think about it, because he will give us strength in that day if it requires that we love not our lives unto the death. And there will be a time, and there have been times, and there have been places where the beast seemed to be getting the victory over the Lord's people. There have been times in history. You know that. You know that. And there will be a time where globally it will be so. There'll be no safe place. But she will be nourished. Verse 12 says, rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman that had borne the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness. Yeah, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. It really is a wilderness. It really is. Yeah. That she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be, what's the word?
Nourished.
Nourished. There it is. Not devoured, not devoured. The serpent's trying to devour her, trying to drown her. But she's nourished for a time and times and half a time. Glory to God. He nourishes me. Some of us are very old and feeling it. Some of us are quite old and not feeling it quite so much as some of the rest of us, but we're being nourished. And as I said at the beginning, when we were just chatting, I was with a dear brother, you know, who's 91 and who's been used of God and is rather confined to barracks now, can't get out much and so on. And we finished our couple of hours together with 10 minutes of prayer, where his arms are waving as he's praying the victory. Just like my arms have been waving around, it must be disconcerting. Someone wrote to me and said, stop waving your arms around. You know, on these videos, will you stop waving your arms around? But I, you know, but it's all part of what it is. And but we were waving our arms around, praying the victory, because he's being nourished. And he said, I can't move, I can't walk around much, but in my spirit, I'm so glad, and I've got my marbles. Can still sing. Yeah. Amen. And some of us are younger here as well. And there's others, I hope, that will listen to this. The very title itself will attract some people to listen. To listen. If you want to get people to listen to things. Do you know, shall I tell you a very interesting thing? Do you know that tapes were, in the days of cassettes, you know, younger people don't know what a cassette is, but anyway, in the days of cassettes, there was a very dear lady who was the tape secretary here in England. She lived with us for many years in one of the rooms high up in the big house we were in. And I once said to her, her name was Dot, Dorothy, shortened to Dot. And I said, Dot, what's the most popular tape that goes out? And she said, well, she said, remarkably, it's a little message that Brother so-and-so preached. And with the title, God Thinks You're Wonderful. Isn't that an interesting thing? That title seemed to attract people above all. Perhaps people who are attracted by the title, the beast and the lamb, might be attracted for the wrong reasons that I talked about at the beginning. So they may switch the video off after hearing that.
People do, don't they?
But they do. Some do. Yeah. You know, but isn't it remarkable? God thinks you're wonderful. Amen. I think I need to listen to that one again. I may have a copy of it somewhere. or it may be up on the internet. God thinks you're wonderful. G.W. Norse. And but you know, here we are. The fact of the matter is, we're nourished. That's it. Not devoured, nourished. And my friend, you know, we're being nourished. I'm being nourished. I'm being nourished. I'm being nourished. He's looking after me, even in this wilderness, even when there's rejection, even when there's betrayal, even when there is hurts, even when, you know, the enemy closes in around you at times. And the serpent, it says here, he just wouldn't give up. He poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. There it is. Out of his mouth it comes. All the lies, I reckon some of you might be hit by some of them at times. A flood of lies that causes doubt and flood of lies. Oh, the flood of lies. You know, when I think of this, I cannot help but think back to the 20th century and the flood of lies that came out of the mouth of fascism, of Nazism, you know, that came, and so many of the church leaders swallowed the flood of lies that came flooding out, but Bonhoeffer did not, and many others did not, and they paid with it with their lives, and they did not. You know, the flood of lies, and glory to God that those that live on, you say to me, well, how should I live in the midst of all of this when the enemy is just flooding with his stuff? Well, look over at verse 10 of chapter 13 and just look at the end of the verse. This is how you overcome. You just got to outlive. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. That's one of your chief weapons. You know. Amen. To endure, to carry on, because the flood of water, Nazism, was swallowed up. The flood of lies, the thousand-year Reich, the flood of lies, Mount Zedong, the flood of lies was swallowed up. That's what it says back in chapter 12. And the earth came to the help of the woman. In verse 16, and the earth opened its mouth, and the earth, and swallowed the river which the dragon had poured out from his mouth. Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea, and up he pops up in the form of the beasts. Up he comes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you are. There's been a lot said today. Amen and amen. The Lord be praised.
Amen.
The Lord be praised.
Amen.
We used to sing a song. I don't know whether there were lots of old songs, but this one was in my mind as I was thinking about this week. I'll try to sing it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name, Jesus, 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 like the sunshine after the rain. Jesus, 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 kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about your name. Any of you ever heard that? I haven't sung it quite wrong, because it says, "Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name." That's who we belong to, brethren. Excuse my 81-year-old voice. Amen. We belong.
Well, may I read something? It's just so pertinent, Bernard.
Good,
with
good, good.
Sorry?
Yeah.
See.
Someone, a dear someone to us wrote, "As Christians, our weapons are love beyond intellect, kindness over cleverness, and compassion above calculation. They will know we are Christians by our love, not our brains. As Christians, we don't need to get entangled in social issues because we are building a different social economy. Our political views are now secondary to the new government we are called to establish here on earth. To all of us, myself included, who have been found fighting the wrong battles and stirring the wrong plots, be encouraged. The kingdom of God is built on rebels, on those who are willing to go against the social norms and speak up while everyone else is silent. We don't lose a bit of our personality or character when we surrender to God's way. In fact, we gain the one thing every rebel longs for, a cause not just worth dying for, but one worth living for, where the greatest of gods is pursued with the help of a, no, sorry, where the greatest of goods is pursued with the help of a perfect, benevolent, and all-powerful leader, the one true God."
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nell.
Can I share a song with you, which I feel is very relevant? It's just spontaneous. This is our song, and when we take it into our heart and it's established there, we can sing it in full faith. I am a conqueror, I am victorious, I'm reigning with Jesus, I'm seated in heavenly places with him, and the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory, for the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. He strengthens me. He strengthens me with joy in my heart and peace in my soul. He strengthens me. Yes, I'm a conqueror, reigning with him, secure as the blood of Jesus cleanses me within.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's our hallelujah song. That's the truth. That's the truth that Satan cannot come against. He has to bow his head and hide when that truth comes out, especially when he knows we know it in our hearts. And we get to know that as we get to know Christ in fellowship and in his love. And love is just, you know, those words you've been giving, Bernard, are just so wonderful. Grace gives, faith receives. We just receivers. We're just receivers, and God is the giver. And when we come to him in that way, and when the enemy is very, very crafty, and even when he can overcome us by the lies, we don't have to put it right. We just have to surrender to God, and he strengthens us and gives us that song. I am a conqueror. I am victorious. It's not in me. It's what Christ has done for me. And God, and the Satan cannot come against that. It's finished. It's done. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, BB.
Yes.
Amen. Well, let's get some of you to pray. Anyone?
Anyone want to pray?
Ken?
Anyone?
Anyone? Can.
Before he runs away.
Yeah. Amen. A big amen. So good, Lord, to be together. So happy to be even in this way together, Lord, and to hear your word that nourishes our hearts, Lord, and these heavenly truths, Lord, that come and ground us, Lord, in a great perspective here and in amidst the tumult of this life, Lord, we are grounded and at peace and at rest and in love with you and feeling and knowing your love in our hearts, Lord. Just happy to be together, Lord. Bless our hearts. And your word, Lord, would encourage us day by day, Lord. Just bless your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank
you, Father.
Amen.
Blessed Lord.
Just feel free to pray. Anyone?
Lovely, Lord. Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the grace that you have extended to us, that we may live our life not based on our own merits, but based on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the shalom peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for granting us to be children of God, that we can see, we are seated in the heavenly places together with you. Thank you, Lord, for making us to be more than conquerors, that we may overcome whatever that is in the world. That, Lord, that we will not be the loser in this world, but we will endure to the end. And we want to fight the good fight of faith, that at the end of the day, you can say to us, well done, you faithful servant. Father, we look forward to the days when you call us home. But while we are still on the earth, Lord, make us to be vessels and instruments of praise, instruments of importance to influence our friends and relatives, that they may be able to see the kingdom of God coming on the earth. We thank you, Lord, for watching over each one of us, taking us deeper into you, that we may learn of you, your truth, and we shall know your truth, and your truth shall set us free. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I must confess that when I came into the Zoom this today, I looked at the topic, the Lamb and the Beast, and I was afraid that I would not be able to follow Bernard.
a surprise. My surprise is that my heart is thrilled with a message. And I'm so glad that the word is so alive. And yes, and I'm reminded of Psalms 46 when Bernard ended the message. It is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The words to Psalms 46 just came and he said, Lord, thank you. You are nourishing us. We are being nourished by you. It doesn't matter what may come. We are yours and you are ours. Amen. So I'm so glad to come into the Zoom this evening and very blessed. Thank you, Bernard, for the word.
Amen.
Lovely, Lord.
Anyone else? Hannah?
Shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Father, thank you. Thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, you speak to every hearing, listening heart. We thank you for the freshness of your truth, Lord, of your word. It's alive and it makes us alive. You strengthen us with might in the inner man. Once again, bless your word unto our hearts and glorify your name for your glory.
Amen. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. How wonderful.
Thank you, Father.
Glory to your name.
Hannah, you're muted.
Father, we thank you tonight for your truth that Bernard has brought to us to see everything from a heavenly perspective of all that is happening on earth. Actually, it starts up there.
Yeah, that's right.
Father, so we don't have to think we can get anyone to control whatever is going to happen here because, Lord, you are overall in charge of it all. Father, thank you for freeing us. From thinking or overthinking or not knowing what to think. Actually, we don't know what to think, actually, what we are to do.
Right on.
We just want to thank you tonight that is given us a way to really understand your word at the same time to be able to comprehend or have a way of comprehending all that we are seeing on earth, especially of late, everything that is happening, and we just don't know what to do. Yeah. Father, we just say, oh God, that you, this woman that is fleeing, you will nourish her, and that is our hope. You will nourish us, your church. We don't know the days ahead. But Father, your word says that we have to keep on being still, not to give in to what we hear, but just to look at you and to look to your word.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. We just thank you, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
That you are that faithful witness.
Yeah.
The one who is, the one who was.
Glory.
We thank you, oh God. There is something that is unshakable.
Yes.
That we can say, yes, he is my God. I will
live. Hallelujah.
Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Tremendous, Lord.
Bye-bye, Ken. Anyone else wants to pray? Mark, go ahead.
Yeah. Father God, as I reflect upon the book of Esther and Revelation and Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know that, Lord, you're going to raise many Esthers up this year, 2026. Even though there are Hamans everywhere around the world, around the land, in the political realm, but you are raising up the Mordecais, the Esthers.
Hallelujah.
All over the place. You are raising up the young ones, the young Esthers, not our generation, but our children's generation.
Father.
I know that you are sovereign in our lives. In every human affairs you are involved, intrinsically, you know exactly what's going on. You know exactly. You know the plans of my daughter, dear Joeline.
Completely.
Her desires, her wishes, her dreams. You know everything.
Amen.
All the decisions she need to make as a family, for our children, for our young generation, for our grandchildren, some of us.
Amen.
To follow the Lamb. We are the followers of the Lamb. We are not the followers of the beast.
That's right.
We are followers of the Lamb.
Yeah, that's right.
We know the nature of the Lamb. We understand the attributes of the Lamb. We understand your attributes, the Abba Father. In John 15, John 11, John 10, the Good Shepherd, the I am, the way, the truth, and the life. We understand. And we internalize and we believe. And we're going to see it happen. Manifesting in our lives this year, in our children, in their careers, in their move, in whatever they do, in our churches, in our fellowships, in our house groups, in our whatever you are involved, because you are sovereign in our lives. We trust in you for everything. Thank you for blessing Bernard with a wonderful surgery, eye surgery coming. For the cataract.
Amen.
Wonderful smooth operation for him. Thank you, Lord, because you are in charge. You are in charge of everything.
Yes.
Trust in you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. Forgive us the understanding of Revelation 12 and 13 like never before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The woman nourished, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Despite the dragon's pursuit, the woman's protected despite the dragon's pursuit. Hallelujah. Give you all the praise and all the glory. Give us Malaysians here a good night rest as we rest in another week coming, another week of victory and testimony of your goodness again. Thank you, Lord, blessing us this week. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in U.S., Canada. Give them a good day ahead. And for us, a good night from Malaysia. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, whatever name.
Peter and Eve, you want to pray, Peter and Eve, before we close? Yeah.
Father God, we just want to thank you for tonight's message from your very throne room. We thank you for the deep encouragement you extend to us, Lord, that though the enemy is on the advance, Lord, but you are above, Lord. You are above, and you are well and able to protect your own. And we just want to thank you that you are indeed our hiding place, and you will give us a song, Lord, even while all this all the chaos is happening everywhere, Lord. Lord, we only need to keep our eyes upon you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So help us do that. You steady our hearts, Lord, and help us to focus on you and you alone. And help us to pray for one another as we are the body of Christ. Help us to realize that we are part of your body. No matter which country we are from, we are all part of your body. How wonderful that is, Lord. We have brothers and sisters across the globe. Thank you, Jesus. We face a common enemy, but Lord, we serve a risen Savior. And we look to you, Lord God, for that protection and that nourishment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Still praying.
Thank you, Father.
Amen, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, I need to go now.
Father, thank you for, again, Lord, your faithful word, your bread, Lord, that nourishes us. Keep us, Lord, in good health, spiritually, Lord, even as we take in your word and to keep us, Lord, day by day, Lord, that we will continue, Lord, to commune with you. We continue, Lord, to be mindful, Lord, of your presence, Lord, though we are living on this, in this very reality, Lord. Make you, Lord, our reality too, Lord. Make us, Lord, to be ever conscious, Lord, of your presence. So that, Lord, we know the time has come. The day are drawing near, Lord, that you are coming again. And we remember, Lord, that what you say, Lord, in the book of Revelations, Lord. So, Father, help us to take heart, Lord, that you are coming. And we are to be ready, Lord. We are to be ready. Lord, in faith, Lord. In hope, Lord, and in our love, Lord, for one another.
Amen.
We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hazel, you want to close us at this time?
I do. Father, again, how faithful you are to every one of us, Lord, in our different situations. It amazes me, Lord. How great you are, how great is your heart. And it's what Bernard said earlier, that, Lord, you think each one is wonderful. Wonderful enough, Lord, to be able to hear again, freshly, this clarion call of yours, Lord, to our hearts. And it comes by your spirit, as clear as crystal. Lord, I can hear it freshly, and I know, according to the prayers, Lord, that each one of us can. There's always movement to move forward into with you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to get stuck in any way, Lord. We do want to hear your voice constantly. And Lord, I know that you've given me, for this year, a very wonderful couple of lines from a hymn. And I'm just going to say it because it actually emphasizes what dear Su Fong has read out, Lord. It's that hymn of glorious things of thee are spoken. But it's particularly the verse that says, see the streams of living water flowing from eternal love, well supplied thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Lord, I pray that for each one of us, that we will see. We need eyes open, need our inward eyes open, Lord. We need all of every part of our being open to you as we move on through even the rest of this day or what's left of it, Lord, to see with a clarity, to hear, Lord, with a clarity, so that, Lord, we can go forward with courage, like was said in what was it? Yes, the call for endurance and faith, Lord. That is our call. And we know, Lord, that you will finish that to an absolute fullness of completeness, Lord, as we walk on with you. So we commit one another with love in our hearts. And it's true, Lord, that we need to continue to pray and care. So, Lord, let love triumph in families, in relationships, Lord, in friendships. Lord, don't let it abate. Lord, don't let it. But, Lord, let us be ready to love on. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bernadine.
Bless Amen. You.
And we'll remember you for your op on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Yeah. God bless. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good morning. Good night. Morning.
And Doreen, don't be going
good
out
afternoon.
During, okay?
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Morning.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.